Hey, it's Cindy Howes and Lizzie Noh from the podcast Basic Folk, honest conversations with folk musicians.
Basic Folk is truly changing the game with our well-researched deep dives that aim to empower the listener while fostering the folk community.
I basically am writing worship music for youth group rejects.
Maternal regrets and maternal guilt are universal.
I try to make things that are beautiful and that are made with like a purity of intention.
You can listen to Basic Folk on the Bluegrass Situation Podcast Network or at basicfolk.com.
Hey, this is Bree Bagwell, and if you want to listen to this podcast early and ad-free, subscribe to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/BreeBagwell.
It is very interesting because now, like, I just opened for Josh, but it was at a festival, so it was different kind of. But I, now that I've been around for 10 years or whatever, and we're all buds, I'm like, remember when you used to match my pay? Like, they don't do that anymore. That up.
So I heard back in the day, y'all used to do this. Is that still a thing?
Or me? I'm like,
hey, everybody. This is Bree Bagwell, and this is my podcast, Only Vans, where I talk to my friends in my van.
How'd your mom feel about you putting the F word in your song?
She hated it.
I just, and I wasn't even sure if we started yet, but I just thought I'd have to ask you because my mom would do that too. But I think it's good for our moms to be like that, or else we would just be off the rails all the time.
Yeah. She literally told me, Jay, nice girls don't say that. I was like, I'm not a nice girl.
You
like
are.
I don't
nice
know.
Girl. But it is, it's like, it hits different with that word in there, so.
Agreed. I was like, I can't say frickin'. Yeah. Like, you're dang, I'm so dang tired.
Sometimes I just always say, sorry, mom. Like, it's the mom filter. Yep. But I'm glad that. I have a good mom filter. We all need it.
Oh, yeah. I know. I agree. I was like, that song needed it. And I didn't expect, because Adam kind of picked out a lot of the songs. There were some that were like must-haves for me. But, like, for some reason, you chose that one. I'm like, cool, we're going there.
Yeah.
And then Dustin came in to play on it, and he's like, okay, Jade Wetzel, okay. I was like, yeah.
Explicit.
I know. I'm so, I feel so cool now.
Well, you are cool. Are we ready, Ka? So the people that are listening and not watching, we are on my couch because it is 175 degrees in Texas, and we've been having problems with the cameras overheating.
Is that why yours went out on one of those episodes?
Oh my
gosh.
They overheat, and then we lost like a whole one. We went to Wimberley to go see Adam and Darby, and we lost like one of the cameras just overheated and quit working. So we are in the air conditioner today, and if you have a problem with that, then you can sponsor this podcast and buy us a brand new van that stays really cool. Or like a barn to put over my van.
Exactly.
Yeah, great. Well, I'm just excited to have you here, and I know that we text a lot late night sometimes about just life in general, and I was trying to think of what I wanted to talk to you about, and I was thinking about, you know, being an acoustic artist versus being a full band artist and how you're kind of in this, like, transition, I feel like you've been playing full band stuff, and you're also playing acoustic stuff. And how, like, how to manage that, because that's such, like, that's two very different things.
Yeah, very much so.
And for me, it was like, I had a moment where I was on a TV show in 2011, and my booking agent, Nick Ferrata, at the time was like, you have just enough pop from this TV show that we can start booking full band shows. So for me, it was like, one day I was acoustic, and then, like, the next day I was full band.
Ooh, that's crazy, especially if you haven't done it before, so you're just like, well, okay.
Yeah. And I put together a band, and that's how it's been ever since. So, like, for you, was there, like, a moment?
I think, I mean, I was trying to do it off and on as much as possible just because, you know, living here, and we all have musician friends down the street that you can, like, call up and just say, hey, you want to, like, just throw together this band and play this event or whatever? And so doing that, I just kind of caught the bug. I was like, I enjoyed doing that. And even to where I just, as far as like even playing acoustic shows, I was like, I feel so alone up here, you know, like I enjoy it sometimes, but half the time I'm like, I wish at least someone else up here to banter with or whatever it may be. So, I think just the more I kept even just song swapping to full band stuff, I was just like, I enjoy this a lot more. There's so much more I can do on the stage. You know, I'm not even like the greatest guitar player. I get by. But yeah, so just having that around helps so much. And I think
you're a great guitar player. And you play the electric on there on stage and it looks so rad.
Some rhythm electric.
Yeah. Well, it's super cool.
Thank you.
And it's one of those things though that it's like a whole different from each show to each show, putting a band together. And sometimes your whole week is devoted to like getting the players ready and then finding the people, and then someone backs out last minute, and it's a full-time job just running a band.
Oh yeah. This has finally been a moment where we've all been like somewhat consistent as far as people.
Deep breath.
Yeah. Finally.
Yeah.
It's been, you know, we've had some of them come and go, and I know you know how that is too, whether it's your drummer, bass player, whatever it may be, but yeah, this has been like the most consistent it's been for a while, which is great because, you know, breath of relief. We don't have to start from scratch and someone has to learn everything all over again. Also, nothing wrong with that. But, you know, if you do have like this run of shows, like big shows coming up, you want to have your same group of people that, you know, are on it and you feel comfortable and can be confident on stage that they're going to play all the things that y'all rehearsed for forever. So,
yeah, I know like putting a band together in the early days, I would take shows where I would lose money all the time because I had to keep my guys mm-hmm. busy. This was pre-COVID. And I was like, well, I got to keep them busy. We have to have 12 full band shows a month or else they're going to quit or get stolen. And looking back now, it's like, well, they quit or got stolen anyway. Like, I don't know why I was
because
losing.
You were showing them off to everyone and they're like, oh, you want to come play for me?
Exactly. And so I kind of like did that to myself. And then when people would leave, I would just get so devastated because it's like, you don't know what I've done to be able to keep you having this as your full-time job. And I would take it so personally. And I think COVID changed all of that. Like people are not expecting to play that many shows a month. Like that was normal. And now we don't play that many full band shows a month anymore. Thank goodness. Yeah. I don't know how we ever did. But I think people now are kind of, they have other jobs or they have other, but they're not expecting that many shows a month.
Yeah. I'm very lucky that all three of my guys have something else going on too. They'll play some pickup stuff here and there, but for the most part, they have other jobs that they do in the meantime, because I'm all about quality shows at this point too, because yeah,
so smart,
the amount of running your voice ragged mm-hmm. and yeah, that's the thing. And yeah, I've done that a couple of times, so I'm just like, you know, we're gonna pick just like our quality ones and just be good at those, you know.
That is so smart. And I think my guitar player, you know, he works for Apple and he works remote for the most part, so but it was very funny because the first time he ever came to a weekend when we hired him or whatever, he brought like two cases of beer. I was like, what is that? He said, some beer for the van. I was like, well, what do you mean some beer? I'll Venmo you. And he was like, no, I got it. And I was like, what is this sorcery? Because like, he has a job.
Yep. You have all this other income. Oh man, this
what's
is
that
amazing.
Like? Yeah. I don't know. So then it made me think, shoot, I should have been doing that all along, because you feel like the burden of five people's incomes all the time. And that's a heavy burden to carry for 10 years like I did. Mm-hmm. So now all of my guys pretty much have something else to rely on, which is like, it takes a lot of stress off. But I've also learned, like, I think it's better not to dig your claws into players. And so I don't even really feel like I hire people anymore. It's kind of like, hey, if you want to be here, here's the dates. And if you want to leave, just give me 2 weeks notice and help me find your replacement. And then we're cool. And that's been working.
Yeah. Yeah, it's probably better on your emotions and everything else too.
Yeah.
I mean, like, of course you love your guys that you play with, but yeah, I mean, I you'd have to just please just give me a heads up and help me find somebody. Like that alone is so much peace of mind, because that's kind of what happened to a recent bass player that we had. And he actually pointed us to the guy we have now, Kevin Humphrey. And that was so helpful, because then it's like you trust his recommendation, right? And then they go and work hard for you, and most of the time that happens. So,
right. Yeah. Because a lot of times if I put, I need a bass player or whatever, for example, mm-hmm. the people that reach out are like, well, you just got fired from every single band that I know or whatever. And then, so sometimes the gems are hard to find because they're not the people that are hounding you for a gig or whatever.
Exactly. Right? Yes. Maybe. Yeah. Let me have a run a background check. Let me ask some people.
I know. It's so hard to tell who's going to be cool. You have a rehearsal and they're great. And then you go on the road and then day one, they're puking in the alley or something. And you're like, oh, mm-hmm. hitting on the tour manager. You're like, what? No.
Yep. That's so important. They have to like vibe with everybody else in the band. And
right. And how do you know that?
And not creep other people out and not do things like that.
We had a bass player once that was just so inappropriate. And I had Rachel as my tour manager. And he was just like day one, just telling these really awkward Tinder stories.
Oh, no.
And it was kind of, you know, it was two females. Maybe not day one dive into the sexual, very strange.
Yeah, you don't know it's like that yet.
Yeah.
Like, we'll get there.
Right. And or maybe, yeah, we'll get 6 months and some beers and Whataburger at 2 a.m. But like day one in the van, it was just a strange scenario. And can you tell me, like, I just feel, because I've gotten a couple opening offers lately that I've also been entertaining because for crowd exposure, you know, mm-hmm. but the pay is the same as the times that I was opening 10, 11 years ago. It's the exact same opening pay.
Yeah.
Is it still bad?
Most of them. Yeah. It's going to be like your 500 or even and if you get to play Green Hall, that's amazing. But I mean, that's kind of understood too, that like some of those venues, they're focusing more on making sure like the headliner's paid and stuff. And like you said, that stuff is a lot of exposure. But I will say the festivals are a little better about, you know, even if you are kind of in like the earlier days, I feel like they take care of you pretty well. But I mean, I guess as far as venues go, they have a set allotted amount.
I feel like when we get it, it's like pretty much $500.
Yeah.
Which standard. That's what I was getting every single night to open when I was at William Morris, whatever, like 2011, I was getting mm-hmm. five. So it's weird to me that the pay didn't adjust to inflation I'm like, is this what everyone else is getting offered too? Because this makes no sense to me. So that's interesting to hear that it's the same for you and I feel like we're also competing with, you know, Dayton, who's dad owns an oil company, and so $500 doesn't matter. There's plenty of people who can take the $500 opening slots, and it doesn't affect, it's fine to them. It's a drop in the bucket or whatever,
right?
And so sometimes I would like to do more of a hybrid of opening stuff, but I just like cannot afford it sometimes.
I know, and that's where merch, I guess, is where you're just hoping that crowd is like ready to buy your merch to make up for it.
Right.
And I feel like honestly, like that is kind of where I'm at in my stage of working in this industry is, I mean, granted, I've done some stuff. I mean, headline things, I don't think we're ready for as far as like the following. So what's really going to help me out, get to this next step, is going to be opening for a lot of the right people, I guess, you know, just to get that exposure. And so we probably will negotiate the best we can. But I mean, some of those are just a must take because you know what it's going to do after the fact, just by getting in front of those people. And again, please buy our merch after the show if you like us.
Yeah. But it's so weird because you take the opening gig and then you're in front of all these people and you don't know if that's going to ever convert into a ticket sale for you if you're headlining.
Yeah.
It's so wild because how do you ever know what is worth the exposure and what is not? And then back in the day, everybody would match. Like every time I played with Wade or Randy or Josh Abbott, any of them, Casey Donahue, they would always match the opening pay. Like I remember it was sometimes it would be $300 a lot and they would always pay $300 too. They would always match it.
That's cool.
It was so cool. And I mean, it is very interesting because now like I just opened for Josh, but it was at a festival. So it was different kind of, but now that I've been around for 10 years or whatever, and we're all buds. So I'm like, remember when you used to match my pay? Like they don't do that anymore. That up.
So I heard back in the day, y'all used to do this.
Yeah.
Is that still a thing?
Yeah. Or me, I'm like, hey guys, so I still need that pay match. Remember that deal that we had going on? But it was very nice back.
That is so nice
it
of
was
them
so
to do
nice.
That.
One time, I played with Josh Abbott at Whitewater. He hates when I tell the story, but I don't care. And he sold out Whitewater. It was the first time. And I went up and sang Oh Tonight with him. And at the end of the night, his tour manager came and put $1,000 cash in my hand.
Whoa. And that is so nice.
Yeah. I'd been a band for like 3 months.
Ugh,
and the
$1,000
cash. And that happened. All those guys were so nice. So kudos to them. I think it's just harder because there's so many more people vying for those opening spots.
For sure. Times are way different. But man, that's so cool that they did that.
I know.
I mean, what's why not now?
Let's text Wade.
Yeah, that's all right, I guess. Yeah. No, they are giving me the opportunities. And like you said, there's a lot of people to choose from. So, you know, I'm grateful that they are, that they're giving me those whenever I do get them. So,
yeah. Hey, this is Bree Bagwell. And if you want to sponsor this amazing podcast, all you have to do is email onlyvanspodcast@gmail.com. We got to play together at Brewster Street in Corpus, which was super cool.
That was fun.
But it was, even that, I think I got you like confirmation like the week before. I never know when I'm in charge of picking the opener and when I'm not, or when the venue is going to pick the opener, or when, and who has to approve it. And I don't, it's so crazy. And it works out sometimes, but like the Wilder Blue took me to 4 different states and they just kind of told the bar like, hey, we're going to bring this person, and they actually paid me out of their pocket, which was super nice for most part. But then you feel bad, you know, taking money from the headliner, but I got to be in 4 different states in front of all these crowds. Merch was great. It was a great opportunity for me. And I wouldn't have been able to do that until after COVID. I would have never been able to take a weekend off in July. My guys would have been like, what the heck? And they were glad to have it off. And then I got to just go by myself and Paul played guitar with me and I rode the bus and had zero expenses and just got like a pure profit.
That's amazing.
Weekend.
I would take one of those too any day. That's awesome.
Yeah. Good. Okay. Well, we should do that together.
All right. Let me know, girl. Let me know.
You and the dog.
Yes.
Okay. I also want to talk to you about the song game, because I haven't talked to anybody really about the song game. Maybe Helene a little bit, but I feel like you super thrived in the song game.
I did. Just joining that, I guess it was January 2021. I joined one that, who was running it? I guess Chops was running it at the time, honestly. And so just being in that, still in the same group, haven't been kicked out yet. And then I joined yours. And yeah, I thrive on that because for one, I need accountability, and it's a lot easier when you have a prompt to go off of instead of just sitting there and be like, so what do you want to write about? Like if you're, or, you know, by yourself, that's even worse. What do I want to write about? But, yeah, that stuff I've always thrived, like even in school, it's kind of the same situation. So it's helped really, improve my songwriting tremendously, because not only am I like getting practice, it's like working a muscle, but you know, you're working with people that are amazing songwriters in that group. And I'm like, why am I here? But it helps you. It helps you kind of like, okay, I'm setting the bar, or gives you inspiration to get better. And yeah, so it's done a lot for me. Majority of my album is from that. So.
I was going to ask that. Your new album is so good. And there's a couple that I love so much, but I was playing it this morning, just getting ready, and somebody stole my Jade Marie Patek hat. So if you're out there,
like my white hat anymore.
I used to, you know how much I used to wear that hat, because I used to tag you every time I wore it. It was my favorite hat, and whoever you are, you're dead to me. But then I just got another one from you today.
That's right.
So it worked, and a shirt. So
the dad cap.
Well, for me.
I figured you liked those colors.
Yeah. This is, did you create this merch line for me?
I did.
I love it. But that record, I had your record on, and then right after, you know, Spotify does a thing where it just picks people. So after you, Sunny came on.
Nice.
And then
I always like to know that stuff, actually, too. I'm curious.
And after Sunny, it was me.
Lovely. Yeah. Because,
which is, it's cool, and it also makes me mad, because after that, there'll be a guy, right? There'll be like Cody Johnson. But if you go play Cody Johnson, like,
the bigger
you're
names.
Never gonna come on after.
Yeah. No, I have that whole like other people listen to thing, you know, that we see on the back end, and also everyone else sees kind of on your account. So it's like, cool, well, do I also show up on so and so's? No, okay, great.
Right. I don't know how it picks the people, but then if you play me, like even people like the Rankin Twins will come up or something, because it's like, well, we got to find other girls in Texas. Mm-hmm. But then if you play Josh Ward, I would love to be on that station. I feel like we are a match or whatever. But it's so strange. So I'm trying to figure out, you know, we're always trying to figure out ways to trick that system or whatever.
Exactly. And there is one tidbit that I heard of. I'm not sure if it's worked yet for me, but the more like Kelby and I look into it is... you make your own playlist. Like most of them, if you have like X amount of monthly listeners, they already do, like, for instance, like, this is Bree Bagwell and it's just nothing but like all of your songs. Well, if you're not at that point yet, you don't have one. So just make your own. So just make your own, for one, a playlist of all of your stuff on there. So it's just a go-to so people don't have to like skip around. And then also make a playlist of all the folks that you would want to be on theirs. So make you, mine is that country soul southern rock that I made, and it's got all of my inspirations, plus just people that I like to listen to and the ones that I would want to be, I guess, grouped with. And yeah, so I'll let you know if it works, but I heard that's the thing to do. Cool. So any of your inspirations, like if you make a playlist, like add some Josh Ward songs, add some like whoever else that you would want to be on theirs, and hopefully people would go, save that playlist, listen to it a lot, and that helps you apparently get grouped with them.
That is very interesting.
So,
because I was telling you about the one that I just signed up for, whatever, I'm doing Discovery Mode or something, where I didn't know that you told me that you can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's so crazy. So basically
Spotify,
for people listening,
Spotify hates me. I don't know why.
What? It hates me too. I'm trying so hard, but basically they take an extra 30% of your streams, but it's the streams that they get you on top of what you're already getting. So hopefully you're reaching new people.
Yeah.
But they're taking even more of the money. It's so wild. So
it's helpful. I mean, you won't even notice the money that they're taking out. You're still going to get like your email that says CD Baby or whoever it was just paid you X amount, like whatever it is. But, so I feel like you're not even going to notice it. You're just going to notice growth. Like they're still making money off you, but it's still helping you out in the long run.
Well, I hope so. But you and I late night text about that, and it was just you're so frustrated, and I'm so frustrated. And then I'll get on there with people that I'm playing with, and I'm like, the difference is not like I have 30,000 followers and they have like, 100,000 followers. It's not that. Like the people that I'm looking at, I'm like, you have a million followers. Like how is the disparity from? And we're playing the same rooms. I feel like I'm selling.
I'm mind blown with that half the time myself.
Yeah. I'm not really sure, but I haven't cracked the code, but I'm going to try that. I'll try anything at this point.
Seriously. No, please take advantage of it if you get it. We check that back end all the time. Like Spotify isn't giving us any of their little beta things that they're running. So one of these days we'll see. But yeah, that stuff's super helpful. I also don't get the difference. I don't know if you've noticed it too. And I mean, it could be just completely different correlations, but the following on social media versus the following on Spotify. I've seen a lot of people that are just way off. One's got way more, like someone can have 2,000 followers on Spotify, but they've got 40,000 monthly listeners. I mean, what did I say? 2,000 on like Instagram, but like 40,000 monthly listeners on Spotify. Like what?
Yeah.
It's wild to me.
My fan base definitely doesn't convert. And I actually have more listeners on Apple Music than Spotify because my listeners are older. But everyone looks at Spotify.
Yeah, all the venues, all the management, that's what they look at. And that's why I'm like, that's the one that hates me. Because I agree. Apple's great.
Right. And I feel like it's a little unfair if we're only getting placements with other females in Texas when we're talking about like you being acoustic versus full band. There is maybe what, 5 girls with a band in Texas? That can play a festival with a band. That's wild. That's like we have to figure out a way to have more females be able to have bands all the time. But it is just like the hardest thing in the whole world.
Yeah. I feel like thank God for the people that do want to play for us. Because I feel like it's harder too, because if the guy comes along, not to put that card out, but you know, if there is a guy that comes along and wants them, I mean,
they're going to go.
Yeah.
I know. And I was
saying it without saying it, but yeah.
Well, for the people that are just starting bands, it gets easier. The first guy that left my band, I was devastated. I felt like I went through a breakup, and it was Miles, and he went to Cody Johnson. Like, I think that was a good move for him.
Yeah.
But, like the older you get, the more you realize that you know, it's all part of a bigger puzzle. And
yeah,
losing Nathan was devastating. I've had my guitar player for like 9 years, and I thought I'd never be able to recover from that. And you know, I've had great players since then, and it's been fine, and I miss him, and we're still best friends. And so it's okay to lose people, and
it is, and it all works out for a reason. Like you said, some of those folks go off to play with those big bands like Cody Johnson, or some people go off and like have their dream job and their dream family and like things like that. And like you said, you get to run through and meet more amazing players as that all happens. So yeah, I try to look at it that way, so you're not as devastated.
That's a great way to look at it. And it is weird having somebody, I was telling Kyle this today, like it's so hard doing what we do and having somebody that devotes their life to playing your music. Like that's so strange.
I know.
Like I wouldn't do it if it wasn't my music.
Right.
But it's like somebody else. And sometimes I'm like, do they even like these songs? Maybe they just every night they're like smiling and they're like, God, I hate this song.
I think about that often too. But then they always kind of like reassure me when they're like, man, I just love that song of yours. What, you know, whatever it is. So I'm like, oh, y'all do enjoy being here.
That's great. Do you run ears or you run monitors still?
So it's a little bit of both at the moment, depending on the venue.
Yes.
So
that's why I knew I had a reason for that. So tell that, because I think this is great. What you do is like perfect.
Like being able to do both?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we kind of each have our own little setup right now. Nothing crazy. But we are working on getting that whole like rig set up, because I know how easy that is too, to like you literally set your own and then you just hand it off to the sound person and awesome. But you know, if it calls for it too, especially if they don't want to do so many different like ear monitored systems, or they just don't even have that, then I'm like, yeah, we're set up for monitors too, like either way. So
well, I just think it's interesting because you have your own ears no matter what, which I think for female, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think for female singers, like my first early years, I was losing my voice every single weekend. Every weekend.
And that's why.
And that's
we
why.
We don't have that in our ear.
So you don't feel like you have to, as a front man, get ears for the whole band and it's going to cost you $5,000 or whatever. Like you can also just get ears for yourself and make that work, because Jade does it.
Yeah. And
that's very
that
smart.
That saves my voice.
I know. And I wish I would have done that sooner.
Whew.
Good for you.
Thanks. Well, I mean, I learned from all of y'all. That's literally
how
I
learned. You didn't learn
it.
That from me. That was a good trick.
No, you. But you've taught me a lot of things of like how to even talk to like save your voice. I'm like, I don't do that, and I don't know how I could ever change the way I talk. But I get it; it makes so much sense.
Or at least you're thinking about it. Like,
yeah, between you and Courtney, like that made me really wake up to like, man, I need to take care of this. Because years ago, when I was still just playing like restaurant gigs for like 4 hours. I mean, I've strained my voice so hard that I couldn't sing like maybe one song for like 3 months. Yeah. That scared the living, you know what, out of me. So,
sorry, mom.
Yeah. So since then, yeah, you know, scared the beep out of me. So, you know, it was that hot tea, like throat coat stuff, like nonstop, and just trying to not scream. And, you know, concerts, you can't help it. Like you're drinking and everyone's just gets louder and louder.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, y'all two have taught me a lot just to be like aware of that and take care of it, because it's not gonna last. We've seen so many artists that have like, oh, I need this surgery or I need to. Do you have you noticed that a lot of people have been losing their voice a lot more?
Oh yeah, I mean,
but I
lost
guess
mine.
They're going so hard.
I lost mine on Friday, and I haven't lost my voice like completely where I couldn't sing.
It's
at
like
a show.
I've never even heard you like post about that ever. So that's why I was like, oh my gosh, it feels like that's the thing.
I feel like something's in the air.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure COVID had a lot to do with it. Like. But also everyone is just going back at it as hard as they can, because this is the most open it's been.
Yeah, this is the first busy season that feels like pre-COVID.
And people are going all out
exhausted
to make up.
I haven't slept in 2 months. And then I was like, oh, I lost my voice. I said, correlated. Those things are related.
The only thing that gets me these days is like the weather, where the allergies will kill me. So if we're like in Colorado or Idaho, I'm like, I'm screwed. Like it's going to get me because it's just dry and
Well, I'm a big fan, and I
think
you're great, and I'm so proud of you, and seeing you with the full band and Corpus, you're just like a rock star, and you're so good, and you can do all the things, and we're here to support you. We're here to wear your t-shirts.
Yeah, and thank you. I've always been a big fan of you. You're always the one to help all of the up-and-comers out, and so we have a lot to thank you for.
Whatever. I'm just basically like, don't do it. Just do anything else.
You better take a compliment, girl. It's true. You can ask anyone. Bo, attest to that.
Bo's like, she just comes over to my house and cries all the time.
No, you do though. You help out people. And you even say to me sometimes, like, I wish people would ask me more. Like, I have a lot of knowledge, so.
Yeah, a lot of
you're good. You're a very good person. Do this.
Well, thank you. That's gonna make me cry. We should sign off on that. Let's sign off with a tear. I love you.
Sounds good.
Thanks
love
for
you.
Being here.
Absolutely.
Okay. Cut, Kyle. I'm crying, Kyle. That's so nice.